Thank you for downloading Producer's Pick from Sounds True, a podcast dedicated to bringing you moving, captivating, and intriguing selections from our programs. In this podcast, the producers at Sounds True have chosen a selection from a program that they've worked on, which caught their attention as a unique or special moment in the recording process. This week's episode, The Proof for God, comes from the audio program The Future of Spirituality, Why It Must Be Integral, with Ken Wilber. Producer Mitchell Klute edited this recording from a live session conducted with an intimate audience in Ken's Denver loft. Here's what Mitchell had to say about this week's producer's pick.
Though I had a passing knowledge of Ken's work and a basic understanding of integral theory before working on this program, I found myself emerging from this immersion in integral spirituality with a newfound respect for the clarity and flexibility of his thought. Here, he addresses that core argument of the culture wars, science and religion's tilt over the existence of God, and shows that spiritual knowledge can ultimately only be an experiential knowing. And in fact, he says, the contemplative traditions do indeed provide proofs for God that are actually very similar to the proofs of the scientific method.
You can download this entire program, The Future of Spirituality, Why It Must Be Integral, at SoundsTrue.com. And now, our producer's pick, The Proof for God, with Ken Wilber.
Okay, let me just ask one question here at this point.
Yeah.
Because as soon as you introduce the two truths doctrine of absolute truth and relative truth, and you're telling me that the modern world is about providing evidence for relative truth, I relax. I relax because I'm not looking to the modern world to give evidence for absolute truth claims about the, you know, mystical union experience. So I think that's a pretty big confusion, perhaps, that people have. It's like, science can't tell me whether or not God exists. That's something only I know inside myself experientially. There can be no evidence for that.
Yes. And that's one of the real misunderstandings in the culture wars, is that the scientists claim that there is no proof for God or divinity or spirit. And so all we can do is work with scientific truth. But while it's true that there is no scientific proof for God, that science can't prove that God exists, it's just as important to realize that science can't disprove spirit. Spirit is simply outside the realm of what science can experiment on. And so science is really pretty well stuck within that relative realm. When we go back to the absolute realm and what the contemplative traditions did, in a sense, they had proof for God. Now, the proof was in some ways very similar to scientific experiments. Because what it does is, if you look at what a standard scientific experiment does, it has at least three parts. First, it has an injunction or a paradigm or an exemplar, which means, if you want to know this, do this. If you want to know if it's raining, go to the window and look. So if you want to know if it's raining, don't pray and ask for revelation. No, do evidence. Actually, do an experiment. Go to the window, look, and then see if it's raining or if it's not raining. But after you've looked and you see, well, yes, it looks to me like it's raining, then to make sure that you're not hallucinating or just, you know, getting it wrong, then you call in the second person. And maybe even a third person, and maybe even a fourth person. You have them look. And they all say, yes, it's raining. Then you say, okay, that the second strand is after you do the first strand, which is the injunction. If you want to know this, do this. If you want to know if there's a cell, learn to take histological sections, learn to stain the sections, put it under a microscope, and look. If you want to know if Jupiter has nine moons, get a telescope, point it at Jupiter, count the moons. I mean, these are actions that you do in order to find out information, and not simply truths that drop down out of the sky. So the second one is, after you do the first injunction, or exemplar, or experiment, or what Thomas Kuhn called a paradigm, and there's a lot of confusion about what paradigm means. For a long time, people thought that paradigm simply meant a new theory, and that we have these old theories that aren't working, but I can come up with a new paradigm just by thinking about a better way that things fit together. That's not what Thomas Kuhn meant. And he got quite irritated with the misuse of his notion of paradigm. Changed the word paradigm to exemplar, which means an exemplary practice that scientists do to help establish their truths. And when a new theory comes along, it always comes with a new exemplar, a new experiment, a new, if you want to know this, do this. So after you do the experiment, the practice, the injunction, the exemplar, the paradigm, you will have an experience. So if you go to the window and look, you'll have an experience, an illumination, and you'll see whether it's raining or not. That's step two. Then you come back, and the third step is a communal confirmation. This is where you have people that have completed the first and second step check and see if they all get the same results. Now, that is essentially what modern science did, and it did it very, very vigorously and very meticulously. But the fact is, that is, those three strands are very similar to the mystical practices that had been done the world over, only they were working with the absolute side of the street. So to give an example of those three strands quickly, Zen Buddhism. The first strand, the exemplar, the practice, the experiment, that is sit in a lotus position, cross your legs, place your hands in your lap, count your breath. Do that for 3 years. It's getting deeper and deeper and deeper into states of consciousness, and you are starting to find out deeper and deeper truths about your own reality. And as you continue to do that, sooner or later, most people will run into their true self. They will have a Satori experience, an enlightenment experience, an awakening experience, and all of a sudden it's pow, wow, that's who I really am. This is what reality really is. And then they go and check. That's the illumination. That's the second strand. That's the data, the experience. Then they go and check that, usually with their master, and a community of knowledgeable. And if they've more or less got that right, then they have this new understanding of who and what they really are. And this is taken to be an utterly profound experience. It's taken to be the summum bonum of human existence, is this extraordinary discovery of who and what you are and who and what ultimate reality is. So, strangely, there's some similarities in the mystical form of pre-modern religion and the modern scientific form of knowledge. Now, there was also pre-modern forms of religion that aren't experiential. They were things that we still know today, for example, as fundamentalist religion. And that's where you simply believe a written document, you believe a certain creed, you profess the Apostles' Creed or whatever, and your belief in that, you accept Jesus as your personal Savior. And simply those beliefs are, when you die, are going to get you into heaven on the right-hand side of God forever. Now, that's a form of mythic belief. And it's very different from a mystical experience of actual divinity. And so both of those were present. And unfortunately, the mythic versions, as opposed to the direct experience versions, the mythic versions became more and more and more ridiculous sounding to the modern mind. And it still is. So when we see the culture wars going on with Christopher Hitchens and Richard Dawkins and Sam Harris and all of that attacking religion, what they're attacking, if you'll notice, is always the mythic literal form. Well, how tough is it to attack that belief? How tough is it to say, look, Moses didn't really part the Red Sea and God didn't really throw frogs on the Egyptians and all that kind of stuff? It's just absurd that that's all that they pay attention to, because there's the whole other aspect of religion or spirituality, and that's this awakening experience, this transformation experience, this extraordinary satori, awakening and awareness. So one of the things that we're careful to do in integral spirituality is include the direct experiential form of spirituality, because that can be repeated. It has, in a sense, its own evidence. In a certain way, it's an interior science. It's a science of consciousness. And it's looking within and making these discoveries. So that's part of what we include. But then there are so many other discoveries that came with modernity. And one of the ones that plays directly into the overall psycho-spiritual unfolding of each of us is that the modern era started to discover that the human mind grows and develops through these levels of development.